of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So we're going to start a series here on the spiritual gifts. I don't know how long it's going to take. There's 9 of them. I don't think we're even going to get into the first one tonight. We'll just be kind of like an introduction and jumping into things. But there's 9 of them, and I don't think each one will take a whole service, so probably won't be 9 or 10 weeks long. Of course, it'll go into the new year, I imagine. But we're going to talk about the spiritual gifts. And one of the main reasons that we're going to do that is because the gifts of the Spirit are just simply gifts from God. And if you go back to verse 1, Heather, look at what Paul says to the whole church at Corinth. He says, brethren, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Now, if you have a King James Bible, that word gifts is italicized there. Now, if you don't know anything about, you know, Bible interpretation or you know, haven't really been taught things like that, you know that that italicized means that that was not in the original text. If you didn't know it, you know it now. That the translators put that in there. Now, they didn't take liberties to put gifts in there through the whole counsel of God. And actually, you see, I think it's verse 4, the word gifts is in the original text. It's just not italicized. So they just translated, put gifts here in the beginning. It's not taking a wrong liberty, but that word gifts there, you can see it's up there in the brackets, was not in the original text. So the more correct and literal rendering of that first verse in the Greek would be this. Now, brethren, concerning things that pertain to the Spirit, or the Spirit of God, I would not have you to be ignorant. Now, the spiritual gifts that we're going to talk about in this series, the 9, they are things that pertain to the Spirit. And so that verse, we could read this way. Now, concerning things that pertain to the Spirit, I would not have you to be ignorant. So Paul's telling the church that I don't want you to be ignorant, and we'll talk about some of those things tonight, why we don't want to be ignorant towards those things, about things pertaining to the Spirit. One of those things being the gifts or the manifestation of the Spirit in those 9 ways that we just read that we'll talk about more. So God doesn't want us, that's not Paul's desire, that's God's desire. Paul doesn't want us, along with God's desire, to be ignorant towards the things of the Spirit. Well, we know a lot about ignorance, that ignorance is not bliss. What you know can hurt you, right? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowing. Jesus said, if you know the truth, you'll be set free. So you could say it this way. If you don't know the truth, you will be in the possibility of being in bondage, right? And so knowledge is huge. So he said, I don't want you to be ignorant towards these things. Now, my next statement, you know my heart, I hope, anyways. Not to be an elitist attitude or somebody that is trying to come down on other groups or to be mean or rude or whatever. I'm speaking factual information from experience, from places that I've come from, places that my wife has come from, places that family and friends have come from and are still at, some of them, and a lot of people that have come into the churches in Olean and South End from where they've come from. That overall, the body of Christ is very ignorant towards things pertaining to the Spirit of God. And again, that's not, I was ignorant at one time too, and there's still things, a lot of things I don't know, but I know more than I did when I was in the complete unknowing category. So it's, again, not to come down or to pick on anybody or to say, wow, we're so much better, but it's just the truth. Where I came from, they're very ignorant concerning the things of the Spirit of God. The spiritual gifts were never talked about. The speaking in tongues was never, it was shied away from. It was taboo, right? It was something that you just didn't bring up. And so the Holy Ghost in a lot of places, because that's all the Spirit is, the Holy Ghost, things pertaining to the Holy Ghost. A lot of churches don't have anything to do with the Holy Spirit. They don't welcome Him. They don't welcome the flow. They don't invite Him in. They don't want Him to move. Because it's, you know, usually what we're not up on, we're down on. And when you're not up on it, you're afraid of some things and there's stereotypes and different things. And so many people are ignorant. And we can't be ignorant about the Holy Ghost here because we need the Holy Spirit here. He's the one part of the Trinity that's still here. God's on the throne. Jesus is on the throne next to Him. But the Holy Ghost is in the earth doing His ministry. So why would we want to push Him out? We want more of Him. And we'll see this here, but a lot of places, there's churches that used to welcome the move of the Holy Ghost. And again, I'm speaking by experience. They used to have people like Dr. Dufresne, and they had people like Kenneth Hagin, and of course they're both with Jesus now, but knew how to flow with the Holy Ghost, that have now said, we don't want, actually, before Dr. Dufresne went home, I knew of a church, big church, that all of a sudden went seeker-sensitive, went very casual towards the things of God, and they said, we don't want Dr. Dufresne in anymore because we don't want any of that Holy Ghost business. That came from the pastor. That Holy Ghost business is God business.
Amen. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so many places are ignorant concerning that. We don't want to be ignorant, you know, concerning the move of the Holy Ghost. You know, you think about the initial outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2 when they were all in one accord in one place, 120 of them in the upper room. Hungry, seeking God in one place, going for it. And the Spirit of God was outpoured that day, right? Outpouring came as the sound of a mighty rushing wind in that town. The whole town heard it. People, the noise was abroad. The Bible said they all came together. And 3,000 people ended up getting born again because there was a move of the Spirit of God. So I guess when people, they have fears that, well, if we get into this Holy Ghost business, it's going to hurt the harvest. Wait a minute. The Holy Ghost is the Lord of the harvest. He's God. He's more interested in the harvest than you are. He's not going to do things that are going to hinder. When He poured that out and people were saying, that's weird, we don't want that, that's weird, that's weird. It ended up leading to 3,000 people being born again. I guess He knew what He was doing. When Peter and John found the man at the gate that was crippled, and there was a gift of the Spirit in operation that healed that man, that led to how many, I mean, people being saved, born again, revival. Move of the Holy Ghost. So, if we push the Holy Ghost out, we won't get all that God has for us. And we need the move of the Holy Ghost. And we'll get into something. We might as well be led by the Holy Ghost. Because look at verse 2. It says, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols. Notice this, even as you were led. Did you know that before you were born again, you were being led by a spirit? It wasn't the Spirit of God. But you were being led by the spirit of the Antichrist spirit, the devil. Anything Antichrist is just anything that's Antichrist.
Right.
You know, we think Antichrist and the guy that's going to take that position. But really, the spirit of Antichrist is in the world right now.
Yes.
It's anything that is Antichrist.
That's right.
I was getting ready to turn my phone off. I came out, and I don't know if you saw this, but I guess there was another mass shooting today in California, where at least 14 people are dead. I'll tell you what. This is when the church is going to shine.
Amen.
I'm not, and this isn't a fear tactic. This is the truth. Stick close to God in these days.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Stay close to God in these days because we want that divine protection. We need that divine favor. But see, as the world gets scarier and darker, the church is going to shine brighter and brighter and brighter. But if we don't use the Holy Ghost, we're going to be just as in danger as anybody because the Holy Ghost is our warning. Our Holy Ghost is our helper.
Amen.
But that spirit of Antichrist is in the world right now. I mean, ISIS is Antichrist.
Yeah, that's right.
Anti-Jesus. Absolutely. Well, you're being led that way, and so as Christians, we might as well be led by the Holy Ghost.
Amen?
Amen? Praise God. And it says in verse 3, wherefore I give unto you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. The gifts of the Spirit and what we're going to talk about will point to and magnify and exalt Jesus Christ. Amen? You know they're legit when they're not intended to magnify a man or a person or a ministry. They're meant to magnify Jesus. That was a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom that we'll talk about those as we go on that happened with Albert, just dropped into my spirit. When that comes to pass, I won't get the credit for that. It'll point to Jesus for doing that. He's the one that's going to cause that promotion to come. I just heard it and replied, right? The messenger. So the gifts of the Spirit always point to Jesus and magnify. That's why we want them, because they do exalt and magnify Jesus. And I will show you some of those things here in a second. This is kind of just introduction, so we're weaving through some things, but also help us with some important points going forward in this series. There are 9 different gifts of the Spirit here. And let's just read down through them really quick, starting in verse 8. It says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom," that's one. "Another, the word of knowledge," that's 2. "To another, faith," that's 3. "To another, gifts of healing," that's 4. Verse 10. "To another, working of miracles," that's 5. "To another, prophecy," that's 6. "To another, discerning of spirits," that's 7. "To another, diverse kinds of tongues," that's 8. "To another, the interpretation of tongues," that is 9. So there's 9 gifts of the Spirit, and I want to make this very simple for you. We can divide them into 3 categories. Now, I'm going to show you in a little bit, after I just point these what these are, I'm going to show you why we want them, how it's going to benefit us, and why we need to get involved with these, because these are beneficial, praise God, and you can't have a harvest where you don't plant a seed.
Amen.
And if we're ignorant towards these things, we'll never, ever experience the fullness of them. It's amazing that when I have taught on them a little bit, and I've encouraged people to covet them and crave them, within the next few weeks, it seems, when people are really high on doing that, we have moves of the Holy Ghost in our services. And you'll see that it's not by accident. But I want to, those 9 gifts of the Spirit can be divided into 3 categories. There's 3 categories that say something, there's 3 categories of gifts of the Spirit that do something, and there's 3 categories of the gifts of the Spirit that reveal something. And I'm going to show you that real quick here. I'm going to bring this up to you in these categories that we can divide them. The 3 gifts that say something, or we also like to call them the utterance gifts. The gifts that say something, the gifts that bring forth utterance, are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. So again, there's 3 gifts that say something, or if you want to label that category, the utterance gifts, and they are the gift of prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. That's one category. And then there's one category, and I encourage you, if you know we're going here and a lot of people taking notes, if you need to go back, this will be on archives. You can listen to it on archives. There's 3 gifts of the Spirit that do something, or the category that we like to call them to bring out are the power gifts. They actually do something. They accomplish something. The power gifts. So 3 that say something, 3 that do something, or the power gifts, and they are the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. So there's 3 that do something called the power gifts, the gifts of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. Praise God. Well, that leaves 3 more. The last 3 category are the ones that reveal something, or you could call them the revelation gifts. And they are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Again, they reveal something, or the revelation gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands, and I'm not, you know, asking for people to say something out loud. But just in your own mind, answer this question. How many of those gifts of the Spirit are you very familiar with? Could you be able to tell me, this is what this one does, this is what that one does? Well, if you can say, Pastor, not very much, that would mean we're in the ignorant category, right? But don't feel bad, because that's what the majority of the body of Christ is. If you say the majority of the body of Christ is, tell me what prophecy is, they'll give you a total wrong definition of what it is. Tell me what diverse kinds of tongues are. Tell me what the discerning of spirits is. And you'll get a bunch of different answers that are what people think, but maybe not so much biblically, because the Bible defines what they are, and it gives us examples of what they are. So if you can say, Pastor, those 9 that you just pointed out, I might have some ideas about some of them, but I'm not really in the know, or I don't really, would say I'm not very knowledgeable about those. then praise God we're here.
Amen.
Then praise God for this series, right? Because if there's something in the Word, which I'm going to show you here, that benefits us so greatly that we don't know about, that we need to know about it.
Amen.
So we can benefit from it and get in. I mean, I've just always been somebody that I just want all of God.
Amen.
The most that I can have of Him, even when it's challenged my thinking, when it's challenged my tradition, challenged my upbringing, if it's really Him, I want it. And the gifts of the Spirit are one of those things. So if you could say, I'm ignorant towards these things, well, that's, well, then you're in the right place at the right time.
Amen.
You know, I'm not saying that we will fully swipe the whole subject clean and get everything and squeeze every little bit out of it, but we're going to be a lot better than we were before. Amen. Hallelujah. So there's three categories: the utterance gifts, the power gifts, and the revelation gifts. And we'll start looking at those next week in each one of those and what the Bible says what they are. Praise God. Now this is what I want you to see, is that they're called gifts of the Spirit. These are not things that can be earned. You know, at Christmas when you go into the tree and there's a present for you, it's got your name. Isn't that the best? Oh man, when I'm going into other people's houses, that I'm looking for my name. Even though I probably shouldn't have a gift, I just want to see if there's one for me. And I just love it. It's just I don't know. I'm just still like that. Forgive me for my carnality. But I'm the shaker. I'm the poker into the thing. And that's why I'm telling you, if you ever want to surprise me, don't tell Courtney. Because I will make her life miserable until she tells me. I'm not kidding you. If you love my wife and don't want to hurt her, because I will drive her crazy. It should be going insane. We'll have to admit her. Praise the Lord. Because I will get it out of her. I don't like surprises. So just keep it to yourself. But they're gifts. When you get a gift, it's not because you earned it. Oh, here's your Christmas presents, you know, because you did such a good job. No, I just love you and want to bless you. They're gifts. So they can't be earned.
Amen.
Praise God. They can't be earned. And the reason I say that is because these gifts of the Spirit don't operate based on your works or your faith. There was a woman who Brother Hagin tells the story about. She was in a wheelchair, and he had, I believe, a word of knowledge about her condition and just pointed to her and told her to be healed, get up out of that wheelchair, something along those lines, and she did. She was healed instantly of her condition. Praise God. That's gifts of healings or working in miracles, depending on what she had going on in her. So that was something where it wasn't done by faith, it wasn't done by the laying on of hands or even a healing anointing. You know, when Jesus laid hands on the woman with the issue of blood, remember in Mark chapter 5, she came on the press behind, Mark chapter 5 verse 25, and she touched the hem of his garment, and the Bible says Jesus felt power go out of him. Well, that power he felt go out of him was the anointing. But see, that wasn't a gift of the Spirit, because at the end Jesus said, your faith made you whole. Even though there was a healing anointing present, when there's a healing anointing present, it still needs faith to cooperate. But see, when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, they don't need faith to cooperate with them. And one of the things that brings this point out is that woman that was supernaturally healed that service, she was heard talking weeks later, and this is what she said: I still can't believe that happened. So we know it wasn't her faith. She was in utter disbelief and shock that that happened to her and could not believe that she was made whole. Well, it was a gift of the Spirit. So they're not something that you can earn, praise God, and they're not something that you can work up to happen. I want to show you this. Go to verse 11. This is very important to know about the gifts of the Spirit. It says in verse 11, but all these, talk about the nine that we just talked about, they work that one and self same Spirit. Now notice this. Dividing to every man severally. Notice this. This is important. As he wills.
Amen.
The gifts of the Spirit, when they are in operation, they are as the Spirit wills. I've heard people say, I have this gift of the Spirit, and they're talking ignorance. Nobody has a gift of the Spirit. You can, if you like, for example, I stand in the office of a pastor. I have a pastoral anointing on my life. That pastoral anointing operates any time that I'm in the presence of a sheep. Is that how you say a single sheep? A sheep? That just doesn't sound right.
Praise God.
They should call it a ship. That sounds easier. Or sounds better to me in my mind anyways, but that's something that I have all the time.
Amen.
I stand in that office. I stand, that gift is on my, I can't say, yeah, I, just because I operated in the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom, or maybe there's gifts of healings or working miracles at times, or interpretation of tongues, or whatever, or prophecy, does not mean that I have that gift. If I had it, just like whatever I have in my possession, I can use it or I can do whatever I want. I don't have that. That's as the Spirit. I couldn't turn that on or turn that off if I wanted to. I wasn't thinking about a promotion for Albert before the service or anything. All of a sudden, I'm playing worship, and he just stood out to me like a sore thumb, and it dropped in my heart, promotion coming his way. Well, I can't turn that on and off. I wish we could.
Yeah.
It's not like the faucet, though. It's as he wills.
Amen.
And you know, one of the main things that I've seen concerning false prophets and people that say they're prophets and people that say they're this and that is they say they have these gifts. And that they can operate them anytime they want. That's directly against the Bible. They're as he wills it to happen. Now, thank God for healing that we can get by faith. Thank God for wisdom, whatever, we can get by faith. But the gifts of the Spirit, we can't drum up any emotion or drum up any faith or work the gift that we have. No, nobody has them. And usually I find the people that say they do, they are such pride bags. They are so full of themselves. Absolutely. I don't have any gifts of the Spirit. They operate in my life at times. Praise God. But this is what I want you to see to get you excited. You don't have to be in the fivefold ministry to operate in these gifts. The Bible says he divides them to every man, women included, of course, talking about mankind. Anybody can be used, but it's up to him when he does it. But praise God, the exciting thing is when we find out about desiring and coveting them, get ready for them to operate in your personal life. It's awesome. Before I even stepped in to full-time ministry, they were operating in my life. Now, I didn't know exactly what they were, but now I can put a definition on them. Now I can put a label on them. And you might have already operated in them. One of them that we're going to look at is the gift of prophecy. Now, most people think that prophecy is the foretelling of the future. That's not what New Testament gift of the Spirit prophecy is. New Testament gift of the Spirit prophecy is speaking forth edification, exhortation, and comfort to one another. You know, there's maybe been times that you've been talking to a family member, a friend, a spouse, somebody, and things were coming up out of you that you didn't even know you knew. Or utterance was flowing out of you to speak to people concerning the Word of God, and you got done, you think, who was that person? And maybe if you get into your head about it, you think, oh, I don't think I could ever do that. But when the time came, the anointing came on you, and that gift of prophecy. So most likely, you've probably already operated in some of these gifts. But it's important to know that it's not just reserved for the full-time ministers. It's reserved for everybody. As he wills it. So it's important that we learn about them so we can build our faith in craving and desiring them. And then when they do happen, to know what they are. Because yes, we can't turn them on and off, but we can create an environment that they'll be more apt to happen.
Hallelujah.
I wish we could turn them on and off. We can't, you know. It's amazing. God has put me in my place many times where this is going to surprise you. Now, don't fall over and pass out. But your pastor is human and not perfect. I know. To even say that shocks me. But no, I'm just as human as the next person. And there are days I do better and days, down days and up days, right? Where maybe, or some days where I feel like, man, I've knocked it out of the park spiritually. Before a service, you know, really, really kept under my body. It was in prayer and seeking God all day. Come to a service and we have a good service. It's the Word. And then there are days that, man, things just happen one after another. I just seem to be more lazy, more carnal, didn't get in it. Come to service as embarrassed as can be, and we have a Holy Ghost blow out, and people are getting healed. And the Lord's just saying, Stan, it's not about you, it's about me. Praise God. I'm thankful for that. So he just shows me at times, listen, these things are not about you, they're about me. I divide them as I will. So if you've got that in your mind, that you have a gift of spirit, I'm sorry to burst your bubble tonight. You don't. You don't. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's amazing the people that think they stand in offices of prophets and stuff. And the Bible will tell you what a prophet's life will look like. And man, they don't even come close. But they just want to be somebody. Why do we want to be? I just want to be what he has for me. I don't want to be somebody I'm not supposed to be, because that's where danger lies. Praise God. Just be who he's called you to be. Praise God. But anybody can operate in these. They divide severally as he wills. Go to verse 31 of chapter 12. I'm going to look at two places that what we're told to do with these gifts of the Spirit. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, talking about the gifts of the Spirit. So the Bible says to covet them, right? Now look what it goes on to say. It says, yet I show you a more excellent way. And then, of course, we go into chapter 13. And it's our love chapter. Ooh, love chapter. Goosebump love chapter, right? And so where the ignorant people have erred is because the Bible says, I show you a more excellent way. They'll say, we don't need the gifts of the Spirit because love is the more excellent way. But that's not what the Bible says. It says to covet these gifts, but yet even above these gifts, there's something more excellent. It doesn't mean we throw those gifts out. In fact, the Bible tells you to covet them. He's not in one sentence telling you, covet these, and then the next sentence say, have nothing to do with them. That wouldn't even make sense. Just because there's a higher and better way, right? I might sound very ignorant when I say this, but I'm just going to jump out on a limb here. I'm guessing that the oil in an engine is maybe one of the most important fluids in a vehicle. Now, there's other fluids in the vehicle that maybe aren't as important as the oil, but it doesn't mean that we just put the oil in and leave out all the other fluids because the oil is the most important.
Right, yeah.
No. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes. Amen.
I'm confusing myself up here. So hopefully it's coming out good out there, because I kind of think I know what I'm talking about. I just know they tell you it's really important. You need to get it changed, right? But there's a lot of other fluids in there. But we don't know. Let's just leave that empty because we have a more excellent way. It's called oil. Leave the transmission fluid out, you know, leave the windshield wiper fluid out, leave the brake fluid out. We don't need that. We got a more excellent way. It's called oil. No, you'll struggle.
That's right.
Your vehicle will struggle. So, but that's where people have erred. But if you just really read it, why would he tell you to covet it and then all of a sudden tell you, oh, I'd have nothing to do with it? Paul, did you take your medicine? Are you okay, Paul? You're not making sense here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1. Now look at this. Actually, what's awesome about that is he talks about the love chapter in verse 13, but then he goes on to say, chapter 14, verse 1, follow after charity, or go after love, and desire spiritual gifts. Do you see that there? The Bible tells you in two places to covet them and to desire them. That's why I said to you that when we talk about them, or I'll mention coveting them and craving them, what I'm thinking is happening is it's getting across people's plates. On their radar, they're going home in their prayer time, they're asking God for the outpouring of the Spirit. They're asking God for the gifts of the Spirit. And then what's happening is, because God has told us if you ask, they'll happen, then we see them, right?
Amen.
Now, go back real quick to verse 7 of chapter 12. So we see to covet and desire them. The gifts of the Spirit says, but the manifestation of the Spirit. All the gifts of the Spirit are a manifestation of God in different areas. Some in interpretation, word of wisdom, foretelling of the future, prophecy, exhortation. That's what it means, the manifestation of the Spirit, for the Spirit to manifest himself. God's everywhere,
amen,
right?
Hallelujah.
But he's not manifesting everywhere. The best way that I can really explain that, and this goes along with his presence too. You know God's presence is everywhere?
Amen.
It's everywhere you go. The same God that had the power to part the Red Sea, to raise Jesus from the dead, to spare three men in a fiery furnace, to spare a man in the lion's den, to spare a man and defeat a giant, the same presence of God is everywhere. But the best way I can explain it is like electricity. We can walk in here to a dark room, and electricity's present. But if we don't tap into it, we won't reap the benefits of it. God is everywhere, but he doesn't manifest, or his presence isn't powerful everywhere. Brother Hagin said this. He said, there is enough power in every sick room in every hospital to raise every single person up off that bed. Just people don't know how to tap into it.
Amen. That's good.
Enough power. Why? The presence of God to heal is everywhere.
That's right.
But it's not till you cooperate with that power of that presence that you see it. And that's what the manifestation of the Spirit is. It's when the Spirit of God, because He's already here, but when He manifests through people in these ways. Amen. Exciting, isn't it? Supernatural. You know, the world is craving the supernatural. We're learning about it. The super, I mean, I've been used at times in the gifts of the Spirit, just like all of you have or can be or will be used. And it has amazed me how wonderful God is. Things that were told to me about people's lives that I knew nothing, and they looked at me dumbfounded of how would you know that? Things that were brought forth in the future that I brought, that were said, that came to pass. Things that were prophesied about my life. That how did anybody know that? Or future things that weren't even to come that I walked into. It's amazing. How supernatural. Praise. We need a supernatural type of a lifestyle in these end days. It might be scary times naturally, but to me it's the most exciting. This is when God's going to shine. Darkness might be getting darker, but the light's going to shine brighter. And we need the power. We need the Spirit of God. So He says to us to covet them and to desire them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, why don't people get supernaturally healed? Now, when I say denominations, I'm thankful for my denomination. I am. I grew up in the United Methodist Church. I'm thankful for it. They instilled a good, solid morale, place of morality, place of the biblical stories in the Old Testament. I'm thankful for that. But I'm going to tell you, the gifts of the Spirit and the power of God and the move of the Spirit didn't happen in that church. It didn't happen in my wife's church. And it didn't happen a lot. You didn't see miraculous healings. You didn't see words being given out like you heard in the service. You didn't see mighty moves of God happen. Why? Because they're ignorant. And when they're ignorant, they can't crave and cry out for these things. And God's only going to move in places that want Him.
Amen.
Just the same way that God, who has died for your... Jesus was just God manifested. Died for your poverty to be prosperous. Died for your sickness so you could be healed. Will allow you to go through life sick and allow you to go through life broke if you don't tap into it. Even though it's available.
Amen.
Even though it's available. These gifts, this supernatural element added to our daily lives is available to us, but not if we don't covet and crave it.
Amen.
Remember in Mark chapter 6 where Jesus went into His own hometown and the Bible says He could there do no mighty work? Don't you think if there was any place that Jesus wanted to put on a show, it would have been in His hometown?
That's right. Amen.
But what? He marveled at the unbelief of the people. The people hindered what God could do. Even though God, do you think, well, let me show this to you here. Where is it in verse, let's see, verse 7. This is why we create, see, we're kind of just putting this all together here. In verse 7 it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to what? Profit. Profit. Well, if you know anything about your finances or business, you want to be in the profit side, right? You want to have more that's there than what's going out. That's called profit. It's better that way. And the Bible says that when these things happen, the church ends up stepping over into the place of profiting. But you remove the gifts of the Spirit, and then the church is it the black or the red? I'm terrible. Red's bad, right? Don't get in the red. But you take away that. See, I, for some reason, when I've done my checkbook and I've been negative, it never turned red. That's why I didn't know that. I always wondered, where are they getting this black and red from? I use a black pen, I understand that, but it never turns color. So you don't want to be in the red, right? But when the church doesn't operate in these, there's no profit, and the church is in lack. So, to say all that, because this should clue you in why we want to covet these, because they profit us, wouldn't the God of the universe who gave Jesus for us, who loves us as His children, wouldn't He want us to profit?
Amen.
But isn't it amazing that Jesus, who was the perfect picture of God, who was the will of God, would want His hometown to profit from these things, from these wonderful manifestations of God, yet it didn't happen there, and it was the people's fault.
That's right.
Showing us that God will let us be in the red if we want to stay in the red. There's churches all over this country and the world that are in the red, that don't know anything about divine healing, that don't know anything about miracle signs and wonders. Doesn't the Bible say that the Lord, working with them, confirming His word with signs following? We were never meant to be a church or a religion or a body based on word alone. We were never meant to try to convince people with words. In fact, Paul said this. He said, "May I speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power." What's he saying? He's saying, show and tell, God. I don't want just to be my words. Show and tell. Do something big and fireworky that's going to show people that you're real. And the Bible said the disciples said he went with them confirming the word. Notice that the word shouldn't even be confirmed without the signs.
That's right. Amen.
I remember watching a show one time, and I think it was, I'm not condoning this or saying I watch it anymore, but I used to, I don't know if it's good or bad anymore, but I watched when they do that wife swap thing where the famous people go live with other, they just do it for a week, you know, they go and live with someone else's family. Well, one lady was just this crazy, radical Christian lady who was just trying to convert everyone the wrong way, you know, and just being very, bold, but she was with somebody that wasn't a believer. They put her with that person for a week. And she's telling them, "You better accept Jesus or you're going to hell." Well, good for her, it's true, but it wasn't going to do any good. I mean, you know, I heard there's a famous actor. I won't say his name because I'm not trying to beat up anyone, but he's very, 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 very famous. Got a very, 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 very famous wife actress. And she said, he said this week. He said, there was a highlight on one of the news things that I was looking at on my phone, and said, "So-and-so has rejected his Baptist upbringing," and he was quoted as saying, "All that fear and that guilt that was placed on people." Well, see, when you're doing it right in the context of the word, there's no fear or guilt. And he went on to say, all these things you can and can't do. See, when God puts all the things you can and can't do, it's not meant to contain you and to hinder you. When a farmer or somebody puts a fence around their horses or their cattle or whatever, it's not so they can make their life miserable. It's so they can keep their life safe. It's so they can keep their life protected. And when God says, don't step into these things, it's not, well, He's trying to make your life miserable. No, it's because I'm trying to keep you from harm.
Amen.
But see, like that woman, a lot of people have approached it and presented it in the sense of from a fear and guilt standpoint. I'm not serving God and loving Him because I'm afraid of Him.
That's right.
I reverence Him and I'm in awe of Him, but I love Him and I'm thankful for what He did for me, right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's my mentality. He's a loving Father. He's merciful. Now, should we be afraid of doing wrong? Absolutely. The wages of sin are death.
Right?
Praise God. And see, the devil has it so twisted in people's mind, like that actor's mind, that he looks at it as the staying away from the wrong things is no fun and it's bad when the wrong things are exactly what hurt you, but the devil has it so twisted in their mind.
Right.
Amen. But so anyways, this woman came off from that standpoint of trying to convince, and nobody, they weren't having any of it.
Right.
And they asked the question that I used to ask. They said, "Well, what makes you right and not Muhammad right? What makes you right and not Buddha right?" And that's a very good question for somebody that doesn't have any type of faith in their life. Why should I believe that Jesus is the way over Muhammad? Why? Just because you say so? Do you see what I mean?
Right, sure.
But when you introduce the love, the Bible says the love of God leads people to repentance. See, when I came to Jesus, the work that confirmed it for me was His love.
Amen.
When I found out, my God, there's somebody that died for me, that has forgiven me, that doesn't care what I've done.
Right.
The love of God led me to repentance. Well, that's a sign.
Sure.
If we would just walk in love, we'd win a lot of people.
Amen.
Instead of condemn them and judge them for everything wrong that they do and beat them over the head. But my point is this, is that the whole thing, we were supposed to go along, we were supposed to take signs with us.
Yeah.
We were supposed to take infallible, the Bible calls them infallible proofs that nobody can refute.
Amen.
You can't refute somebody getting out of a wheelchair. I'm sorry, Muhammad can't do that.
That's right. Amen.
Tell him something, you know, get supernaturally blessing and love. They can't do that. The signs should be accompanying our walk with God. Amen?
Amen?
It's meant to profit. But it's interesting that in Mark chapter 6, even though that's what would have happened, Because the people weren't ready, God said, okay, if they don't want it, I'm not going to force it on them. God is a gentleman.
Amen.
He'll let you be sick. He'll let you be poor. He'll let you be in the red on these things and not profit in life if you don't want them. So we need to be craving them, coveting them. Why? Because the Bible says that we profit when it happens. Think about the different ways that we can profit. Think about the evangelistic opportunities that would happen if somebody in our church was supernaturally healed of something that was so impossible and someone was there to hear it or to see it happen. Or somebody gets called out. Somebody gets out of a wheelchair. Somebody, blind eyes are open. Deaf ears are open. And the word would spread that that church, what evangelistic opportunities we would have. What would that do to your? What did it do for your faith when Albert got up here and testified? I've had so many people tell me how that really helped them.
Sure.
Why? Because you, even though it didn't directly benefit you, you said, man, God did that for him. He'll do that for me.
Yeah.
It did something to your faith.
Yes. Amen.
When the Spirit manifests, everybody profits from it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, and it's important to see that in that verse it says, given to every man. It doesn't mean that every person will operate in all nine gifts, because the next verse says in verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom, word of knowledge. And so he divides them as he will. Brother Hagin would say this. He would go into a church and have 7 out of the 9 gifts of the Spirit in operation in that week of meetings. I mean, just flowing. Things just flowing. Gifts of the Spirit popping like popcorn. People being healed. Words given out. Real quick, go to verse 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 25, talking about it profiting. Look at what it would do with the signs following. It says, and in context, this is talking about the gifts of the Spirit and operating in a certain way. It says, thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so, because the secrets of his heart are made manifest, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. An unbeliever comes off the street, and all of a sudden, because we've been craving and desiring against the Spirit, the pastor gets a word about that person. Or out in the lobby, the gift of prophecy, because you went up to somebody, a new person, like you should.
Yes, amen.
Don't make me smack you. I can't stand when people just sit there. And new people have come in. Oh, that bothers me. We should be loving on them.
Amen.
And so like you would, like you should, like you will,
yeah,
like you do, you go up to somebody brand new. And they start talking to you. Maybe they start sharing things about their life. And all of a sudden, the word of knowledge kicks in. And you know something about them. Or they get the prophecy, and you start speaking to them. And their eyes start welling up in tears.
Praise the Lord.
Or an unbeliever comes in, and pastor calls something out. Remember the gentleman that was here for the very first time? This was, I think, almost a year ago, where God called out the back problem and his whole family was here?
Yes. Amen.
And I didn't know anything about him. And he was about to go into surgery like the next day or something. And God called it out supernaturally. What that did for his family, his kids, what that did for, that was, and it got them going in the right path.
Amen.
What about someone comes off the street like that? See, that's what we want.
Amen.
Someone's secrets of their heart, all of a sudden pastor starts saying stuff. Because these gifts of the Spirit, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, they can operate in the preaching too.
Sure.
Where things are being said and spoke forth concerning your life that I didn't know anything about, but God did.
Amen.
That'll turn people on to heaven.
Yeah.
See, that's what should separate us from the other guys. Our God's real and has power. We have things to prove it.
Amen. Praise.
And if nothing else, we have love. And we can show when the world's being awful, when they're being nasty, we can just be lovers.
Amen.
Lovers of people. And that'll speak loudly to them. That'll speak loudly to them. And so, here we see we have to covet and crave these. Why? So we can see them happen. And what I was saying, back to my story, thank you, Lord, is that Brother Hagin would say, I'd go into a church and have 7 out of the 9 in manifestation. And he'd go to another church and none of them would happen. I mean, I'm talking like the next week. And so he would think it was his fault. So he'd fast longer. He'd pray longer. He'd be in the Word more, and it wouldn't change anything. And finally, he did what was smart and asked God. He said, Lord, why is it? Why can I go 1 week, 7 out of 9 of them be in manifestation, go to a next meeting, and nothing's happening? We're preaching the Word, but we're almost kind of going through like peanut butter. It's just quicksand here. And the Lord said, they're ignorant. They don't know anything about them. They haven't been praying. So that church that had 7 out of 9, he said, months leading up to these meetings, they've been craving, crying out, seeking me for these things.
Amen.
Every single day I say, Lord, I thank you for signs, wonders, and miracles. Father, we crave, desire, covet the spiritual gifts. Father, we need them in the churches. The manifestation in people's lives, in the churches, in the services. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we need to be craving and covenant and desiring these things. Amen. Well, I think that's pretty good for tonight. Hallelujah. I don't want to really go into anything more. The main thing that you need to realize is that they're gifts. Doesn't want you to be ignorant on them. There's 9 of them. It's as the Spirit wills. You can't turn them on, turn them off, but you can be used in them all. But the main thing tonight that we need to recognize and realize is that we have to desire them. We have to covet them. What does that look like? Just simply saying, Father, I pray that the gifts of the Spirit would be in operation within our church, within the believers' lives outside of church. See, and you're not even doing that from a selfish standpoint. Praise God. It's not like I'm saying, Lord, you just use me so I could be seen. No. Use everybody. Bring them forth in our church, in people's personal lives. So from now on, let's make that a part of our daily prayer, our daily confession. Lord, we crave, desire them. Stretch forth your hand to heal, Father, that signs and wonders would be done in the name of your holy child, Jesus. If we don't, we won't see them, and we won't profit. And if we don't profit, we're going to be in the red. That ink will change from good to bad. Praise the Lord. So let's pray. Father, thank you. We're just on the cusp of some things, Father. We won't be ignorant. Lord, these are to profit us. We want to be in the profit section of the financial papers, Father God, and the ledger, Lord. We don't want to be in the red, Father God. We want to profit. We want to get everything that you have for us. And Father, we won't get there if we don't crave, covet, and desire these things. And so, Father, we'll change and we'll number one, get out of the ignorant class and into the know. We'll be faithful to come to these. And if we have to miss, we'll be faithful to get online and get out of ignorance. Ignorance isn't good. And Lord, these are meant for us to profit. And it's interesting, Lord, I can covet them all that I want to. We know Jesus was coveting these things. We know that Jesus wanted to put on a show in his hometown. It didn't matter that Jesus wanted. It didn't matter that God wanted. It won't matter that you want it. It won't matter that I want it if the people aren't on board. So not only are we going to get out of the ignorant category, we're going to get into the hungry category and the coveting category and the desiring category. And we're going to seek you for these things. And we're going to require of you to pour your Spirit out. We're going to take you at your word. And we're going to be knocking at that door and asking for these to be manifest in our service. And we will not be satisfied until we see them, until they're a regular part of our church services. Father, we love you. Of course, I know everybody in this room is born again. But if you're listening by live stream or in the future by an archive, and you just happen to tune in, ask yourself this question. If tonight were my last night on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? If you can say, I don't know the answer to that question, well, the Bible says it's simple. If you call on the name of the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. If you believe Jesus was here on this earth, died and rose again, you are qualified and a candidate. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life, what good or bad things you've done. It matters what you do with Jesus. All you simply do to accept him, you don't have to jump through all the religious hoops that maybe you've been told or thought you had to. You just simply say, Lord, I believe you died and I believe you rose again. Come into my heart. And if you pray that prayer, email us. Give us a call. We'll get you hooked up into a Bible teaching church where you can learn all the wonderful things that God has for you. Father, we love you tonight. We glorify you. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to step right into prayer. If you can stick around, that would be a blessing. If you have to go, just go ahead and dismiss yourself quietly. If you need to take a little break, go ahead. But we're just going to dive right into this here and get praying. We won't go past 8 o'clock unless the Spirit of God has prompted us to do other things. So we're just going to dive right in. Father, we love you tonight. We glorify you. We magnify you. Hallelujah. What a joy this is. Go ahead and keep live stream going if you haven't shut it off. We're just so thankful, Lord. We bless you tonight. We're so grateful to be here. What an honor it is to seek you, to pray out the perfect will of you, Father, for this area. I know people's bodies might be tired. People's minds might be tired. But this is a sacrifice that we're given towards you, Father. Coming in agreement in corporate prayer to make power available for the plan of God. We bless you tonight, Father. We glorify you tonight, Father. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness and your love. You're so wonderful, Father. We bless the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much. And Father, before we take off praying in the unknown, because there's so many things that need to be prayed out, Father, that I don't know of, but there are things that I do know that I can pray. and seek you for. And so, Father, I ask you right now, pour out your Spirit upon all. Now, you said you'd do it, so I'm not asking you anything outside of your will. Pour out your Spirit upon all flesh in Chautauqua and Cattaraugus County. Now, Father, we want it for the world, but we're focusing on our little corner of this here tonight. So, Father, pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. Saturate every man, woman, and child, causing hearts to turn to you for the first time, hearts to turn back to you. Father, I say we're in revival. Father, signs, wonders, and miracles are the flow of God. They're the flow of heaven. They're the will that you have for us. So, Father, stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders would be done. Father, we crave, we covet, we desire the moving of the Spirit so that people's faith would not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Lord, go with us like you did the disciples, confirming your word with signs following. We thank you for signs. Just thank him for signs. Thank him for wonders. Thank him for miracles. Thank you for the 9 manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit being in operation in our midst so that we can profit, so that people can profit. There's a hurting world. They need to see the power. They need to experience the power, glory to God. So we're going to be a pocket of Christianity. We're going to be a pocket. We're going to be a place on the radar, Father, that is going after these things, that is contending for these things. We're not going to be happy with church as usual. We want to see the outpouring, the outflowing of the Spirit, the gifts, the manifestation. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. We'll never be the same. Thank you, Lord. Send the rain. Send the rain. Send the rain, Lord. Send the rain, Lord. Send the rain. Break clouds, showers everywhere. Oh, causing harvest, causing growth, causing increase. Oh, thank you, Father, for the power. Thank you for the power. Now, Holy Ghost, help us. Give us utterance to pray out the perfect will of God. For you are the one that is the spiritual assassin. You know what is the will of God. You know what is the bullseye of the Father. You know what is the mind of the Lord. And the Bible says when we have a weakness, when we don't know everything that we ought to pray for, the Spirit of God knows. And you make intercession for us according to God's perfect will. So right now we ask that you help us to pray out the perfect will of God for this area, for this church, for the plan that you have. If there's something that needs to be interrupted, Father, if there's somebody in danger or something urgent, interrupt us and we'll pray for that. But we ask our helper right now to help us pray in line with the perfect will of God.